Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. 13 minutes after 9 o'clock. It's a Thursday morning, by my calculation. It's the Roundtable panel. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. Libby Post is here. We're joined again today by Ira Fussfeld, making it 2 weeks in a row.
Yes, I'm going to have to put in for expenses.
I won't do it.
Nice to see you.
Yes, you sound like you have a little cold.
I have a little cold, yes.
Good, and we'll all have it next week.
Yeah, and Alan Shartok is here, too, ever the optimist. Nice to have you here, Alan. Well, I don't know. You guys were taping the media project, but huge breaking news on the front page of our website this morning. Former New York Governor Pataki joins the race for the White House, becoming the first New York governor to run for president since Nelson Rockefeller. Former three-term Republican Governor George Pataki jumped into the race this morning in a YouTube campaign video. Hopper, do we have that audio? Apparently.
America has a big decision to make about who we're going to be, what we're going to stand for. The system is broken. The question is no longer about what our government should do, but what we should do about our government, about our divided union, about our uncertain future.
There it is, and he released the announcement on YouTube prior to his public appearance today in New Hampshire. So he has thrown his hat in the ring. Now, he's flirted with this in the past, but this is now official. And this is big news, right? Alan, hello.
Yeah, no,
wake up.
Hello. Big news in the Pataki household.
That's big news. As Ira says, big news in the Pataki household. He's running. Now, look, you cannot tell a guy who ran for governor three times. In a Democratic state and won overwhelmingly that he can't be president. You cannot tell him that. I can tell him that, but you can't tell him that in terms of his cognition. Right.
Well, we can tell him he might be vice president.
Yes, I think that is what he's running for.
Well, that's sort of the common man's woman.
Since you and I said it a week ago.
I believe that was a shot, Libby and Ira.
Yes, it was. Okay. First of all, I talked about that a long time ago.
Yes,
so what happened is that the camp followers have now come on and said what they heard me saying all those weeks ago as if they've thought it up for themselves.
Oh, please.
No. We don't buy it.
Right. Okay. We do think. Independent thoughts.
Can I just ask Libby a question?
Certainly.
Libby, you got this wonderful award the other night. As the outstanding alumni of the School of Rockefeller School.
Distinguished alumni in political science.
Yeah, you did.
Right.
And you stood up. And you gave a speech.
I did.
And you just took advantage of our friendship.
No.
And you...
What happened now?
Well, wait till you hear this. So she stood up to give a speech, and you said, Libby?
I said, many of you know that I'm on the round table, and I really enjoy the experience, and that basically Alan takes credit for who I am today, to which I always say, yes, Alan, because of you, I'm a lesbian.
Oh, ouch. Hey,
and it brought the house down.
Yeah, well, I'm an easy target. I'll tell you that much right now.
Join the club.
And my friends, you know, like Libby, who used to be my friend.
Oh, come on now.
No, she is my friend. I love her. But not only did I have her here on the round table, I had her in class
a number of times, didn't I? That's the whole
thing. That's where I taught you everything you know.
That's right. Yeah. That's it. Three classes. And one of them was
she
a summer class.
In Shark Talk.
Right. One of them was a summer class, which was 3 weeks, four nights a week. It was enough.
Oh, my God, I remember that.
So right. We call that a fun drive, by the way.
I only did it one
that
time.
That was really something.
Did I ever appear in a class?
No. This was 30 years, over 30 years ago, yeah. So you were a young man.
Very young.
No, that may have been closer to when I used to go to Alan's classes.
I only taught one night class in summer school, and I swore I would never do it again.
It was brutal.
Well, there was a lot of problems with it. You know, you had to come up with a lot of material very quickly, number one. Number two, everybody didn't dress appropriately. It was the summertime, you know, and
well,
it was distracting. It was distracting somewhat.
What, for you, you mean?
What? Yeah.
Distracting for you.
Yeah. Well,
there weren't that many women in the class. They were mostly men.
It's 30 years later.
I know, my memory fades.
By the way, if you'd like to weigh in on
yours
this conversation, the email is roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. You can also comment on our webpage, wamc.org/roundtable.
So what do you think? Is Pataki, should we consider Pataki a serious candidate?
Absolutely. No, absolutely.
Who's?
No, no. We were talking about interesting stuff.
Yes,
okay,
so
you wanted to bring us back to Pataki.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
And I think you should.
Yes.
Why shouldn't you?
Well, okay. Come on, Ray. Don't be so condescending, so snottily condescending.
What?
I mean,
why should you not give him due credibility in the race at this time?
I'm the one who said he was governor three times in Democratic New York, and that you can't tell him he can't run for president. But, of course, you can't tell anybody else they can't run for president. Every Republican in the United States is running for president.
He has done absolutely hardly anything between then and now.
Sat up in the corner office in white gloves and white shoes.
Right, to
keep
his profile up. Well, not within the GOP primary field, no. He doesn't have that Christian right cred that he's going to need.
No, I don't think that's true. I think that's right.
Which is why he's a more, presuming that the
base might be more attractive.
Yes, if the base sticks with the far right presidential candidate, they might well be looking for somebody who's more moderate and from the Northeast to run as a vice president.
It could be a Clinton Pataki ticket.
Clinton Pataki ticket?
Yeah.
No, it's both
from
New York. I take that back.
Listen up now, folks.
Okay.
I have as much chance believing you about this as I do about getting a cup of coffee from the front office.
Oh boy.
Okay.
So I hear
that they just went out to pick the beans.
Now, you're making the assumption that they're listening out of the front office, which it's a rather big leap of faith.
Well, I think Pataki, beyond the ideological hill he has to climb in that Republican Party, as someone who ran a newspaper during his tenure, and I don't drop very many names because I didn't meet a lot of people, but I did spend some time with Pataki, and I'm hard pressed to believe that he's got the goods to be a serious presidential candidate, unless he.
What do you need to be a serious presidential
candidate?
He has a resume.
He needs
What's
money.
The resume?
You need the money. He's right.
He ran New York State for what, 12 years?
But was it a nondescript?
And was he running it, or was Alphonse D'Amato running it? Let's be honest about this.
But also, it's the money. Yeah. Does he have the millionaires? Are the Koch brothers knocking on his door? Maybe they will. You never know.
Well, here's the point.
Because they would like someone a little more moderate but pro-business.
Let me say something profound.
Okay. Oh, boy. All right, hang on.
I'm going to
say something.
Drum roll, please.
9/20/05.
It's like a solar eclipse. Every now and then, something like this happens. All right, go ahead.
In order for the Republicans to win, to dig into that deep middle class reserve in the United States, which is, you don't want the nuts who are out there, doing their thing. And so if you want to win, you need a guy like Pataki. And that's what he's going to say to people.
Yep.
You want to win. You want the jobs. You want the judgeships. You want the Supreme Court.
You want the patronage.
Yeah, you want
I'm
the
your
patron-
guy.
Then elect. Then I'm the guy.
George.
Otherwise, go for some guy out there on the fringe, and you'll lose again, and you'll have fun losing.
So George Patronage Pataki is what you're saying.
Could be.
Well, there's another factor. There are so many candidates right now. If the rules of the debate are as they have been described, which is we're only going to let people on the debate floor who are polling well.
Yeah.
That somebody like Pataki, who is going to be starting way back, and that's not to disparage Pataki, it's just as it is. And for him to pick up any speed, he's got to, among other things, get on the debate platform. He may not even have that opportunity to show that he's articulate.
When is the first debate? Do we know?
I don't know. It seems like it should be tomorrow because the campaign's gone on so long, but I suspect it's quite a ways away.
We had a letter from W who said, the return of the empty suit. Pataki's back. Can Al D'Amato be far behind? Maybe Secretary of the Treasury.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing is that Pataki signed the statewide omnibus civil rights bill and the gay rights bill into law. The Pride Agenda endorsed him as part of the quasi-whatever deal, wink and nod, that was made to get the bill done. And so that's going to be, in terms of the radical Christian right, that's going to be a mark against him, and they're not going to support him. And he can't backtrack on that because he signed the bill.
And by the way, Libby, to be honest with you, that is, which I'm not always, but to be honest with you, he can't run for vice president either. Because with exactly the same thing.
That's right.
What, you think they're going to say, okay, it's all right to have a president who's a right-winger, who's against abortion, who's this and that, and then have somebody who's moderate as the vice presidential candidate? There'd be a rebellion.
I think they thought they had that with Paul Ryan, and it didn't work out that way.
So you guys postulate that there are no moderate Republicans in the base, that it is strictly rabid right-wingers all along?
Wait a second. What base?
As a majority of the party.
No, wait a second now.
The base is who votes in the primaries.
Yeah, the primary voters tend to be the right wing.
Right.
So in other words, most people who motivated to show up in the primaries are those people who have ideological purity in their veins. And they're the ones who will elect a right-winger. We know that.
Now, that being the case, although it's unlikely to hurt her overall, won't Bernie Sanders be an impediment or a stone in the shoe of Hillary Clinton?
She may be a stone, but I think he's actually going to help her, and I'll tell you why. Because his very presence will mean that the tenor of the party moves left. And her problem right now is that people, I mean, I'll be frank, people don't really love her. They don't have that kind of affection for her. That's why Obama beat her, because they projected into Obama whatever they were feeling about whatever. And so people are moved, the party will be moved left because she'll have to answer Bernie's stuff. Whether she can do that or not, I don't know. We by the way, we don't know all the people who are coming in. We keep hearing that guy from Maryland.
Right.
Yeah, he's supposed to announce soon. But let me clarify. If Bernie Sanders posits a position to the left of Hillary,
Yes. Are
you saying that Hillary will be forced to be sympathetic to that position at the risk of thus going farther to the left and thus perhaps hurting herself in the general against people who already believe she's too far to the left?
The way... What do you mean?
It's a slippery slope. Ira hits the nail on the head. By the way, before we get to your next profundity, let's take a quick break. Roundtable at WAMC.org.
Support comes from Ichiban Japanese and Chinese Restaurant, Central Avenue, Albany. Japanese, Chinese, and sushi bar. Dinner entrees served with soup, salad, and shrimp appetizer. Dine in, take out, delivery. 518-432-0358. Rhinebeck Artist Shops, professional picture framing and fine art materials, Rhinebeck, New Paltz, and now at 793 Broadway in Kingston, rhinebeckart.com. And Jacob's Pillow Dance Festival, presenting This American Life host Ira Glass in three acts, two dancers, one radio show host. A performance of storytelling and dance, two performances only, June 13th and 14th, jacobspillow.org.
Hello again, everyone. It's the Roundtable. It's 9:25. It's a Thursday morning. We are in the Roundtable panel. Alan Shartok is here, Libby Post, a semi-ailing Ira Fussfeld, who's putting up a good show.
I play hurt.
You've done well. Any mail there?
There is. Alan? Julius, who is a regular correspondent of this show. Jules or Julius, depending on what. No, he's a very smart guy.
He writes to the Media Project.
Yes. He lives over in, I believe, in Hillsdale. Mm-hmm. He's somewhere in Hillsdale. And he's very bright. He really is. He writes... subject, clown car.
With Pataki
and
Santorum.
With Pataki and Santorum in. Oh, Santorum is in?
Yeah,
we haven't been discussing Santorum.
Yesterday.
Oh, my God.
I know he was in. I was just being sardonic.
Oh.
You know, we're spending all our time on Pataki when Santorum, a serious right winger.
See, I was going to say,
no,
the
I think he has more of a chance.
Yeah, I think he has more of a chance.
Because more reflective. Okay, with Pataki and Santorum in, how much room is left in the clown car? But wait, it's probably like Mary Poppins' bottomless bag.
Okay.
You send him, I read him.
Is that all you got?
Well, I have a note from Terminix, but that's a personal.
Not what you want.
That's a personal note.
So they said this show bugs us.
Yeah.
No, that's all I got.
Okay, and you were about to say something profound. We were late for a break, and I wanted to let you have
me?
That because I'm
I was
sure you don't
say
remember
profound.
What it was now.
Right. I don't remember your name. What?
No.
Oh no. We were talking about unless we cut it off. Does Pataki? Can Pataki even get any traction if he can't get on the debate stage? As a political scientist, you guys know more about this than I do. On the one hand, it's great that there's this open field, and if you want to run for president, you can run.
Yeah.
Well, they've got, 20, 30 people who want to be president.
But I have two words for all of you,
okay. And
I hope that you, especially you, Libby, who has won this major award, can tell me what those two words are. They start with H and S. Can anybody tell me? They are...
Horse.
No, they are not that.
No.
Horse pucky, no.
No.
It is It is Harold Stassen.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Harold Stassen was a perpetual Republican. He came close once in the beginning, and then that was it. He was infected. He couldn't stop scratching, and every year it became a Milton Berle and Jack Benny standing joke about Harold Stassen.
Yeah. That's right.
So to Ray's point, would you think that I'm trying to think of anybody else who might be considered a moderate who might appeal to the base? Is Rand Paul too much of a loose cannon? I'm not calling him that, but that the Republicans will think he's too much of a loose cannon because he seems to be somebody who might have some crossover appeal.
Without question, without question, I get something from him every single day on my email.
Yeah.
No, and I think he's identified a whole bunch of people who want to go in a different direction.
Now, is it possible that in the general, skipping ahead a bit,
you got to get to the general.
But is it possible that we will see a hard left socialist candidate and a hard right or libertarian candidate as well as the two major parties?
Well, they would have to. I've talked to Bernie about this. He will not run as a third party candidate because he will not take the risk of what that would do, you know, in this country. He's told me that, which is why he went into the Democratic primary rather than do this Naderite, you know, sort of Nader thing where he runs as a third party candidate and a lot of people accuse him of being a spoiler. So that's not going to happen.
But say he polls well and holds his own in the primaries.
Yeah.
All the way through, and it looks like strong, maybe not strong Democratic support as, say, Hillary, but a strong, looks like populist support. Does he change his tune after the primaries are over?
Well, you have to know Bernie to know that he's a man of real integrity.
Right, and he won't.
When he tells you something, he means it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we have to take a break here. Roundtable at WAMC.org is the email address. Roundtable@WAMC.org. Again, you can go to our webpage, WAMC.org/roundtable. Today's post is a 5/28/15 panel. Ira Fussfeld, Libby Post, Alan Chartok, and Ray Graff. And you will be back. Terrence Blanchard, and what a player he is. That's our bumper music, courtesy of Dave Hopper. It's the Roundtable on WAMC. 9:33 is the time, almost 9:34, if you wait about 20 seconds. So, 18.
That's it.
All right, Alan Chartok is on the panel, Ira Fussfeld, Libby Post, Ray Graff here, and some email came in, Alan, while you were getting coffee.
Yes, and let the record show that they didn't get coffee for him. They were not listening out in the front office.
They swear they were doing their job.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Yeah. That's a good answer for them.
And they shouldn't really have to get you your coffee.
No. That's gone out. That's did you ever see the movie 9 to 5? That's out.
No.
Out of the question.
No, but I saw Working Girl coincidentally yesterday, and they had a part about that where the new boss says to her assistant, you don't have to get me coffee unless you're getting it for yourself.
I mean, to show you how things have changed, I cannot even get an intern to wash my car anymore, which is pathetic.
That stinks.
Yeah, let alone paint your house.
Right. So email Alan, remember?
Not much, but here's some. Yeah. Not surprisingly, Obama, said Thad, and now Bernie are setting up a mandate much like 1980.
Not sure.
I'm not sure what that means exactly.
Okay. Ken says you should listen to what Alan said.
Okay.
Bernie will not run a third-party insurgency in the general. A, he said he won't. B, because he has integrity, and America will recognize that, too, and make him the Democratic candidate. And that's at Don't Count Bernie Out.
Aha.
Hashtag Don't Count Bernie Out. That's what it says. That's from
Ken. How petrified do you think the Democratic establishment is that Bernie runs extremely, extremely well?
He will run well. He's going to get a tremendous number of votes to the left of center that don't like Hillary and that really want a progressive agenda. And that's why so many Democrats were yelling about Elizabeth Warren, who they wanted
and
to run.
And why didn't she run?
What am I, her buddy?
You're a political scientist.
But, well, I know a little thing here or there.
Yeah.
But what I think she knew was that she couldn't win.
And does Bernie know that?
I don't know whether Bernie knows it. As I have said many times, he ran for councilman and lost, then he won. Then he ran for mayor and he won. Then he ran for Congress and he won.
In Vermont.
Yes. And then he ran for United States Senator and won. And nobody thought he was going to end up as a United States Senator. He's not a young man anymore. He's about my age. You know, he's right up there.
So pretty old.
Yeah, pretty old.
Yeah.
So I think he thought at very least he would change the conversation and move it left.
Well, he did an interview with Brian Stelter on CNN on a media program. Yeah. And his point was, and I thought it was an interesting point, is that if the media will cover the issues that I'm involved in, which is helping the working families and the like, as opposed to the horse race, as opposed to Hillary's email, as opposed to whatever else is dominating the discussion, he would have an opportunity to show that he's a serious candidate about issues that are important to people. And he now, will the media cover it that way?
Well, but shouldn't the media cover other things? For instance, if there is traction in an email scandal, mm-hmm. does it not speak to the character of some of the person who is running?
Well, you think they didn't get traction?
Bernie is saying don't pay any attention to that stuff. It's relatively unimportant. What's really important is the fate of the middle class in this country.
Mm-hmm. He's right.
So then if Chris Christie runs, then you say pay no attention to that whole bridge thing.
Yeah.
What you're saying?
Yeah.
Oh.
No.
Breaking news.
No, that's not what I'm saying. Because I think, you know, I mean, everybody has to make their own judgments, and there will be people who say that you set me up with this.
But I mean, the character does play into it, right?
Yeah.
Without a doubt. And then the question becomes, if there is a smoking gun with Hillary, or if something happens that means she will not run for president, then is Bernie the presumptive leader in the clubhouse, or will they then default to Joe Biden?
Or Joe Biden or
Martin O'Malley.
I would think they'd go with Joe Biden. They'd need a name at that point to rebound from something as would presumably be damaging as Hillary departing.
Right, and I want to point out to you, Ira, that this young senator from Illinois, who nobody ever heard of, somehow isn't president of the United States right now. He is.
Yeah.
Right, well, that speaks to what Marco Rubio might be running on. The young, inexperienced senator from Florida.
Yeah.
It's very interesting, even for those of us like me who finds this political yin and yang very frustrating because of the horse race quality of it and the disingenuous nature of replies to questions and Hillary not deeming to talk to the press and answer questions, although it makes perfect sense from her standpoint.
Why?
Because she doesn't have to. She can. There's only a downside to her answering questions right now. She's so far in front of the field that she could only put her foot in her mouth, and why take that chance?
I keep going back to what you said about Chris Christie
and the bridge.
And the bridge versus Hillary and the emails.
Yeah.
Hillary owned up to the emails. She was clear about why she did what she did.
And why was that again?
The emails have been released. Chris Christie refuses to take responsibility for what happened on that bridge.
He knew nothing.
Right. He says he knew nothing. Yet everybody around him is
top people.
Right. Have either resigned or under investigation or something.
I can just see everybody in America.
So there's a big difference between the two.
Walking around with a bridge on their lapel, you know, a little bridge on their
lapel. I have a bridge I'd like to sell you.
Well, I don't know what the timing of the trial is going to be, but although the one guy pled guilty,
of course.
Bridget Kelly, the other key player, did not. And so if that goes to open court, that will be a very interesting testimony.
Right, and then you'll see what we call disloyalty.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, here's one thing Americans expect is that when you're working for somebody else, if there's trouble, they'll stand behind you in this political thing.
Not when it comes to going to jail.
Yeah. Well, okay, so Grace says, it says here, Rock Santorums. I didn't know whether that was profound or whether it was a mistake.
He used to be a wrestler.
Okay, let's just say.
I and O are right next to each other on the keyboard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. When he ran for president last election, was very lucrative for him and his various relatives and friends he hired as his campaign staff. This tells me that running for president has become our newest growth industry.
Oh,
by the way, it has.
Absolutely.
There's no question. It's huge. I mean, I think that one of the reasons that New Hampshire would would move its primary, if they had to, up to the day after the general election,
yeah,
is because it is huge for them. Somebody here wrote me something about avoid common wedding woes.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's for us.
No. What about Terminex?
And Jill and Jeff says presidential Doritos. Stephen Colbert did a great job of pointing out the absurdity of the presidential race when he ran under the sponsorship of Doritos, which is what got kicked him out of the race.
I remember Pat Paulson running.
Pat Paulson.
Did Colbert run for president?
Ran for Senate in South Carolina. That's what he did.
What a panel
we
have.
Or maybe it was his sister who did that.
Yeah.
What a panel we have.
So,
yeah. By now, if Joe was sitting here, he would have already looked it up.
Right, it's true.
I bring paper.
Yeah.
You're old-fashioned.
The head of soccer's governing body, FIFA, has held an emergency meeting today following yesterday's arrests in a U.S. federal racketeering case. Sepp Blatter called together leaders of FIFA's six regions, but is staying out of public view himself. Last night, FIFA issued a statement on behalf of Blatter, saying he's determined to root out misconduct. Blatter is resisting calls from European soccer body UEFA to postpone tomorrow's FIFA presidential election by 6 months. Meanwhile, Britain's sports minister says, get out, Blatter, get out. Russian President Vladimir Putin says the U.S. is meddling in FIFA's affairs in an attempt to take the 2018 World Cup away from his country.
May I call Professor Shartok to the stand?
Absolutely.
I want to just piggyback on the discussion you had yesterday, and Alan was scoffing, I believe is a good word as any, at the amount of coverage that this FIFA story received in the New York Times and elsewhere. And specifically, you talked about a health study that had come out that you thought was much more important. Can you just restate what that health report was? And then I will take you to the Weehawken plane.
I like it.
All right. Well, what I said was that I was listening to BBC on the way in. The first story was the FIFA, and the second story was the fact that they could now take, I believe the word is myelomas, and inject them with genetically engineered
herpes
virus, and that they had done a full study on this. And that, in fact, it showed all kinds of results, including some people who had been cured of the myelomas. And I said, wait a second now, you mean a potential cure for cancer isn't more important than some dumb story with a bunch of guys, stealing once again from the agency they ran.
Okay.
And my point is that the study that you cite, albeit important, is not in fact the cure for cancer. And had it been the cure for cancer, it would certainly have led every news broadcast and newspaper around the country. Until it becomes that, it's nothing more than one of any number of various reports
what
that come through medical
about?
Journals.
What
Thus, this FIFA story, which is a worldwide interest, less so in this country because soccer is not as big in this country, although it's growing, you're talking about billions of dollars in potential corruptions and kickbacks that the tentacles of which we don't really understand, because some of those kickbacks could have occurred in this country with marketing, with network awarding
please.
Of network contracts. So, when they're ready to announce the cure for cancer, it damn well better be the lead story everywhere. But until they have just yet another story, even though it's an important development.
Never a period at the end of any of it, I'm never going to get a chance to.
I'm with Ira on this.
Well, of course you are, because you're a sports geek. And Ira is even worse.
No, but this has nothing to do with sports. This has to do with money.
I am not
business.
Done. What?
And media.
And media.
Poor Alan, he never gets to say a word.
Okay, hang on. Let's put that in. Let's make that into a big plaque. Poor Alan, he never gets to say a word.
A word.
Yeah.
Okay.
And by the way, the fun drive is next week.
There you go again.
Ira,
yes.
I'm going to ask you something.
Yes, please.
You're on the stand now.
Yes.
Put your hand on the Bible. Now
yes,
you put
I'll
say,
put my hand on my
yes,
iPad.
Yes or no? I want one-word answers. Were you for many years a sports writer?
Yes.
Okay.
But this is not sports.
Right.
What?
This is
indeed sports. You tell a guy like Ira Fussfeld about football, and his very hair will stand on edge.
What little whatever
left.
I have left.
Yeah.
No, you want to continue course examining?
Yes.
Yes. Go
yes.
Ahead.
Right. Libby, let's just go get a cup of coffee.
Okay.
No,
all right.
No,
carry on.
Therefore, Ira, Mr. Fussfeld, I'm so sorry for this, any disrespect I may be showing. You know, the first thing you're going to do, you're going to, Marx called religion the opiate of the proletariat, and you're, and for you it's sports, you know, and you too, sir.
Oh, give me a
you
break.
And
this
your
is
Mets
not,
and your
This is
Giants
not some
your,
corruption at the level of the Little League in Saugerties, New York,
right.
or some other small town in America.
This
We're talking
huge.
About a worldwide scandal.
Part of the issue is that soccer is not as prominent in this country as our version of football
yes.
or baseball.
Although it's growing, finally.
Not, yes, but
so
still.
Says you.
And it's all very foreign. And, you know, all of this is happening while the banks here were part of it. And that's why the U.S.
Right.
attorney brought this and Loretta Lynch
and
Comey
yes,
from
you.
The FBI. You know, it's still sort of foreign to all of us because it's really not, it's not the NFL. It's not Major League Baseball.
So why the United
it's
States?
FIFA.
So why
because
did
the banks?
No. The banks were the excuse, Ms. Libby. I thought you would remember that from class. The banks. The banks.
It was 32 years ago.
The banks were the excuse. You got the now Attorney General, who was handling the case from her position in Brooklyn.
Yeah, as a U.S. attorney.
That's right. And it now becomes a big thing. But why are we, the world's policemen, doing what is the world's most popular sport?
But not here.
And not, yeah. That's
but I believe
sure
it's because.
It's the same thing as our going into Vietnam or into any of these other places. What made us the
Because
the
our
guys?
Sports guys, our sports promoters aren't getting a piece of the pie, perhaps?
Well, there's that. I mean, there could be any number of ulterior motives. They could be looking, they meaning our country, could be looking to stick it to Putin, whose country was awarded the next World Cup.
2018.
And theoretically, or at least if you believe the allegations, provided money to get that selection. And by the way, both the World Cup that's going to Russia and the one that's going to Qatar in 2022, the U.S. competed to get
Worked
those bids. So there's a lot of money involved. It wouldn't make people in this country mad who are involved with soccer to see somehow those one or both of those bids withdrawn. New York Times editorialized, I believe, today about this, saying that the Qatar bid is particularly onerous. And by the way, if you want to go to the sports, one reason that you could say there's got to be more to this Qatar bid than just selecting a country and that there might have been some money changing hands. Can you imagine having a soccer tournament in a country in the middle of the Middle East where the temperature during the day, during the games, is 120 degrees?
Yeah.
And no mosquitoes.
No mosquitoes.
Well,
it's a dry,
dry
heat. Yeah, it's a
dry,
dry
heat.
Heat.
It's like Arizona.
Don't you get it? Don't you
yes,
see?
Yes,
Cutters?
I do see.
Okay,
no,
all right.
But apparently,
right.
one
but
of the reasons that...
The other thing is, just humor me for a moment.
All right.
Is we're doing this, the United States is doing this, and the kind of money that's changing hands here, the bribery and all of that sort of stuff, it sort of makes the NFL scandal... The Major League Baseball scandals right. pale in comparison.
So well, by the way, there will be those like Ira who are who will suggest to our wonderful audience that what I have been saying is that this is not an important story. It is an important story. Just doesn't happen to be as important as the potential for curing
cancer.
It's just
not that important to you.
And by the
way,
can you imagine what the blowback would be in this country if the commissioner of the National Football League and his staff was accused of accepting kickbacks in the awarding of Super Bowl games?
Mm-hmm.
Political.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, this has been talked about openly everywhere for a long time. Now they finally, I think one of the reasons it was done here, the announcement of the investigation, is because they got that guy to flip, Blazer or Glazer. Whatever
there is no, he's one of the higher ups, but somebody else flipped. Yeah,
and he had not paid his taxes for 6 years, which is not if you're going to take money.
Yeah.
Try to do
yeah,
some
try
taxes.
To do it clean. I would advise people, not advise. I would invite people to see if they can find on the internet the John Oliver tape on FIFA, which he excoriated this group about 2 months or so ago. It's really brilliant, and if, for those who weren't paying any attention. You watch that report, and you will think there's a lot more to be worried about here than Alan is portraying.
Well, we got some mail, Raymond. Shall I read some?
Oh, absolutely,
okay.
Sir.
And so Mary says, U.S. knew about this for years. Why now? Recently, Palestine petitioned FIFA to exclude Israel from competition because of Israel's egregious human rights violations of Palestinian soccer players. I believe this is a distraction created so FIFA cannot take time to focus on the petition. And Lucy says, this is not about sports. It's another example of extreme corruption that is rampant in the world these days.
Agreed.
And that's Lucy from wherever. Lisa says, Ray is wonderful as the round table. I believe he keeps things going. And while it is fun as well as informational, while I adore Joe D as an interviewer, Ray keeps us going more efficiently. Well, not today, though. Love you all.
Yeah, it's off the rails today.
Let me read the most important line. Love you all, especially Alan, going to the lockbox because of Ray.
Ah, now, the lockbox. Thank you very much for that email, because there's this thing called the lockbox, and I want to talk about it because Alan is going to have some big news for us. Tell you what, Hopper, let's take a break. We'll be back on this they call the roundtable.
Support comes from Sunflower Natural Foods Market, Woodstock and Rhinebeck, bug spray and sun care for the family and pets, cold drinks, barbecue, ice cream, and organic watermelon, salads, and more from the to-go cooler. SunflowerNatural.com. Glenmont Abbey Village, an apartment community for active independent living for adults 55 and over, offering a variety of floor plans and maintenance-free living. Coming soon to Glenmont. GlenmontAbbeyVillage.com. Ad Workshop, a woman and employee-owned marketing agency of 30 professionals with offices in Lake Placid, Albany, and New York City. AdWorkshop.com. And Center for Better Hearing, Glens Falls, New York, Dr. Susan Boja and Cara Bador providing audiological and hearing healthcare services in a patient-focused environment. HearingBest.com.
What happens when radio people try to do math? Well, if you were in Studio A a moment ago, you'd
find out. We pull out our smartphones.
It's not all that pretty. It's the roundtable on WAMC. 9:52 is the time. We're joined today on this roundtable panel by Libby Post, Ira Fussfeld, and Alan Shartok. And Alan, the fun drive, I don't want to scare you. It starts.
I am scared.
Monday morning at 6 a.m.
Now, there will be people who think, you know, it's just Shartok, but I am scared. I'm really worried. This is our station. We all made it together, and we could lose it together. It's happened before. We see newspapers that are folding. We see other institutions that go down. Ladies and gentlemen, we see colleges that go out of business. Here we are. Many people, thank God for them, have put a lot of money into the lockbox. Yeah. We need $375 to get an additional $17.5 from the First Niagara Bank for $7,500 and from Mr. Big for $10,000. Bless them. And we now have raised in the lockbox on our way to 375 with today, tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday. That's 4 days.
And then Monday morning until 5:59.
To raise a great deal of money, and I mean a great deal of money, to about, what did you come up with? About $43,000. Let's say $42,000 because there's some extra change in there. So $42,000, ladies and gentlemen. This is where the rubber hits the road. Go to WAMC.org. Please, please. I would never think of not saying please and make sure that we make this.
$10,500 a day.
Wow.
A day.
Sign her up.
Which is less than what we were having to raise per day previously.
That's right. Now, here's the interesting thing about this. We know that in the fund drive itself, when we're on the air, almost every day we make somewhere between $80,000 and $100,000. Most days, $100,000.
Yeah.
So, and that's why we were able to do this, finish it off last time in 3.5 days, which people are still feeling good about.
So last, when was that? Last June?
No, that was in
February. We did that?
No, yeah, February.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was there.
Yeah, you seemed to be there.
Amazing.
Right. It was all a blur for me.
3.5 days. So we could do that here. Friends, everybody, we know what this is all about. Kidding around is fine, but in the end, the only way we can have the roundtable, the only way we can have Joe Donahue and his wonderful stories and the wonderful authors that he brings in, we can have the diversity that so many people bring to this whole thing, you know, the humor and the fun of it. But in the end, it's us, everybody. So if somebody would have put $5 in, that would be great. And if somebody was to put $5,000, we've seen it in this drive, $5,000, and that would be great also. But it's us. It's all us. That's what it is.
And, you know, to make it clear, if you haven't figured out what the lockbox is, it's basically a way to get some money in the kitty before the drive starts, and everything that is raised between now and the very beginning of the drive, which is Monday morning at 6 a.m., counts. We'll put it all in at 6:01 on Monday morning.
Yeah, but by 6:01, it won't count. We don't get the 17.5.
Right, and that's the challenge.
If by 6 o'clock in the morning we haven't made it, this is very scary. I'm telling you, that's an old Yiddish term, sitting on spilkas, which is pins and needles. I'm sitting on pins and needles, hoping that we make this.
A little inside baseball. For those who think this is shtick, that Alan is scared, I got to tell you, we do fund drive meetings. They start soon after the previous fund drive.
Right.
And Alan is tells everybody legitimately that you're scared and you're up at night and worried about this. This is not shtick.
I have not been sleeping well.
But that's going on for decades. That has nothing to do with the fund drive.
That's true.
Yeah, you get up at 2 a.m.
I have what could be determined to be a disincentive or an incentive to contribute, depending on how much or you like or dislike me.
Okay,
it's all about me. The media project is all about Alan. All right. Being me. If the fund drive is still going on this time next week, then I won't be able to be on the roundtable panel.
Are you scheduled again?
Yes, I'm. That's
in 3 weeks in a row.
Yes, it was a little scheduling.
Well, you need
change.
A break anyway. We should have the fun.
But I enjoy being here, so I'd hate to come up to tape the media project and not be able to stay on. So I think we ought to really get this thing going. If we did the fun drive in 3.5 days, we can get it down to 3 this time.
Well, if you're coming for the media project,
yes,
and we're still doing the fun drive,
yes,
get Alan a cup of coffee or something. Oh. You could serve us in some way.
All right,
just give the money.
Yeah, give the money.
Judith writes, speaking of international scandal, what about the bankers who caused the worldwide economic depression? And I'm not going to read the rest of it. Dave says, trade you 3 Sepp Blatters for 1 Jamie Dimon.
Well, there you go. By the way, does Sepp Blatter step down?
What a name.
Does he step down?
He seems to have escaped the initial.
We don't know yet. It's like, you know, the wife who says that the husband stole hundreds of millions of dollars or millions of dollars and kept it in a shoebox under the bed, but she knew nothing about it. It defies one's imagination.
Well, there's the Chris Christie now.
But he's now under pressure.
What'd
from
you say?
Britain and certainly not from Russia. They're behind him all the way. But there is now growing demand, and we've seen this in politics in Albany and elsewhere, where outwardly the leader says, I'm sticking into my job here, I'm staying, and then a day or two later,
Shelley Silver, Dean Skelos,
and many, many others.
Right.
So is he gone?
Well, I mean, a lot depends on the worldwide reaction. As you pointed out, this is something that's being brought by the U.S. Attorney General in this country, and others around the world, starting with Putin, are already denouncing it. So is the world going to come out against it?
Well, it's also like Chris Christie saying he knew nothing about the bridge.
That's
how can he say he knew nothing about this?
All right, we're done here, folks. Oh, go ahead,
Alan.
Said
it. No, he just said it.
Roundtable at WAMC.org is the email. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Thanks to Libby Post. Ira Fussfeld is his name. Alan Shartok, Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. Thanks for listening. Hour number 2 of the Roundtable on the way.